For whatever reason, the Venetian press never covered the story of the Ezra Pound Foundation and the uncertain fate of Olga Rudge's house and papers. News of it spread through word of mouth, however, raising questions about Jane and Philip Rylands. When the Rylandses arrived in Venice in a Volkswagen camper in 1973, this much was known about them. Jane had been born in Ohio, graduated from the College of William and Mary, and moved to England, where she taught freshman composition at the American Air Base in Mildenhall near Cambridge. She was outgoing, ambitious, well-read in English and American literature, a dedicated Anglophile, and popular with the boys in Cambridge for serving fried chicken dinners bought from the PX at the airbase. Philip was a student at King's College, Cambridge, when he met Jane. He was shy, serious, and best known for being the nephew of George Dady Rylands, a distinguished and influential Shakespearean scholar, actor, and director. Dady Rylands was a surviving link to the Bloomsbury Group, a protege of Lytton Strachey, and still a beloved fellow at King's, where he had been living in the same rooms since 1927. His apartment had been decorated by Dora Carrington and visited by countless intellectuals. Virginia Woolf described a luxurious lunch there in her book, A Room of One's Own. Philip's parents did not approve of his marriage to Jane, who was 10 years older. When they arrived in Venice, Philip had long hair held back on the sides by two bobby pins, and Jane wore frumpy clothes and her hair in a bun. Philip was still writing his dissertation, which would take him the better part of 12 years to finish. Meanwhile, Jane supported both of them by teaching at the American Air Base in Aviano, an hour north of Venice. At first, they knew no one in Venice, but Philip regularly attended St. George's Church, then the focus of Anglo-American expatriate social life. There, he met Sir Ashley Clark, the former British ambassador to Italy who headed Venice in Peril, the British counterpart of Save Venice. Sir Ashley and Lady Clark took a liking to the Rylandses, who in turn were attentive and helpful to the Clarks. Philip became involved with Venice in Peril, and it was reported that he would eventually succeed Sir Ashley. The two collaborated on a small book commemorating the restoration of the Madonna dell'Orto Church. Before long, Jane and Philip underwent makeovers. Philip cut his hair respectably short, and Jane began to fashion her hair and clothes in a more up-to-date style. As the bright new young couple in town, they were taken up by established expatriates. Notably the sculptor Joan Fitzgerald, who introduced them around. They met John Honesbean, a friend of Peggy Guggenheim's, since the 1950s. Honesbean in turn introduced them to Peggy. And almost immediately, Philip and Jane began to ingratiate themselves. Jane bought Peggy dog food and various supplies at a discount from the PX in Aviano, walked Peggy's dogs, volunteered for household chores. In short, they made themselves indispensable to Peggy. John Honesbean was at first relieved that Philip and Jane were being so helpful to Peggy. It lifted some of the burden from him. For years, Honesbean had come to Venice from Easter to November to stay with Peggy and act as the unpaid curator of her collection. After Peggy's death, he continued his Venetian summers in a rented apartment. It had always been Honesbean's custom to spend most of the day at the Cipriani Pool, which is where I found him, having a Spartan lunch and chatting with friends among the rich international set. Residents of Venice could, for a stiff fee, enjoy daily pool privileges all summer. "I was a house guest who sang for his supper," said Honesbean, whose white hair was combed straight across his tanned brow so that he resembled Pablo Picasso. "Peggy and I were sort of a couple. I'd owned a gallery in New York and knew most of the old guard of the New York art world. I would hang Peggy's exhibition at the beginning of the season and take it down at the end, which would involve all sorts of unpleasant duties, like scraping the maggots off the back of the Max Ernst Antipope canvas because it had been in the Surrealist gallery off the canal, which was very humid. The maggots loved the glue."